All right, hello, Saints. So today I wanted to bring a little article I put together. What does the Bible teach about music in worship? And is music, or more specifically, musical instruments for the New Testament body? And should the saints use them for and in worship? So to start this, I want to go back and see what scripture says about this right from the beginning, from the Old Testament. The use of musical instruments in worship was clearly a part of the Old Covenant. The earliest sign of this was the children of Israel after they passed through the sea and God overthrew the army of Egypt. We read in Exodus 15, verse 20, "And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances." This pattern is shown throughout the Old Testament with various scriptures showing this, such as 1 Chronicles 15, 16. "And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries, and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy." 2 Chronicles 5, 12 and 13. "Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord." 2 Chronicles 7, 6. "And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood." When we go ahead to Nehemiah 12:36, we read, "And his brethren, Shemaiah, and Azariel, and Melalai, and Gilalai, Maya, Nathaniel, and Judah, Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra described before them. As well as this, many of the psalms were set to an instrument." There is a pattern here, and it is an important one. If you consider all the passages closely, you will see something. The only scripture that mentions music and worship as being connected in a spontaneous act was the account in Exodus, before the ordaining and setting in order of the Levitical priesthood. After this, every account of music and worship being connected was according to an order. It was always a part of the temple and Levitical priesthood and the ceremonial worship, the same as animal sacrifices, or it was according as it was ordained through David, the prophet king of Israel. It is also interesting how it mentions the singers and musical instruments as being appointed, or how in Nehemiah it mentions the instruments as being according to David. The point I'm bringing forth was that while music in worship was a part of the Old Testament worship, it was never a random or an individual thing, but was like the sacrificial system, an ordained and appointed and ordered practice that was done in order as part of Torah temple worship. When we get to the New Testament, this stops. The reason for this is that the worship of God is no longer according to Torah, but as Jesus said, John 4:21-24, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The worship of God is no longer now after the ceremonies and rituals of the temple with sacrifices, offerings, music, and other outward shows and symbols in the flesh. But now it is written, 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" As such, Just like this changed the practice of the sacrificial system, where we no longer offer the blood of animals, but the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ as the atonement for sin. And we do not offer up animals, but as the apostle writes, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This same way, we do not play instruments of physical music in ceremony and ritual, but we are instructed to, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In another passage it says, Ephesians 5:19 and 20, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can see then that the worship of the saints is not according to flesh and ceremony, but in spirit and truth. We do not play with outward instruments of the flesh, but we sing and make melody in our heart with wisdom and grace in our hearts, which have been made new through the Spirit and being born from above. We worship God through this Spirit and new heart. Our instruments are our bodies. Our sacrifices are our lives. Our psalms and spiritual songs are sung with the accompaniment of the joy and music of a regenerated heart, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. The scripture shows that the instrument we use is our body. We are the temple. Our lives are our sacrifice and reasonable service. Our lips and heart is the instrument. Our prayers are the incense. We do not use the outward shows of the flesh, and we cannot use fleshly music to worship in the spirit. It is written, Romans 8:8-9, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he have none of his. This is also true of our worship. Jesus said we must worship in spirit and truth, for the old passes away and all things are made new. Those who want to insist on the fleshly worship of instruments and fleshly music, you are not worshiping God according to spirit and truth. And do you also want to shed blood and burn incense? If you want to worship and keep the ways according to Torah, then know that according to scripture, you are become debtors to keep the whole law. In Galatians 5:4-5 says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. This could be an article in itself to show what worship under Torah was, but let this suffice for now. Those who have ears to hear will hear and understand, and will not seek to bring Torah ways into the New Testament body, for they know that if any will keep Torah, they are debtors to do the whole law. Christ and his apostles gave us no teaching and no example of using fleshly instrumental music, but they did teach us the spirit and truth way to worship, and made it clear that this is the only way to worship God. History also shows this. For some 900 years after Christ, there was no musical instruments in Christianity, even in apostate churches, until the Roman Catholics started bringing in organs, and from there it went even more apostate and heretical to the point where so-called Christians have rock bands today, and yet God never ordained it, and it goes against what Scripture teaches. On the subject of singing, the saints of God sing and worship in spirit and truth and not to please the flesh. The reason for singing is clear, to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly and for edification and admonishing of the body. There are some who sing a cappella and make music using the instrument of the body, but they do this for a show and to make a pleasant melody to please the ears, and they record this for others to listen to. This is a dangerous thing. For while one could argue that it is not sinful to sing a cappella, it is clearly fleshly. For if we worship in spirit and truth, we do so to teach and admonish one another, not to make pleasant melody to please the flesh. Let the saints guard against this. For while one might be edified, it is easy to fall into listening for the entertainment of the flesh. We must guard against this, saints. For if we listen or sing, not to edify or to glorify, but to make pleasant melody for the ears, we are walking according to the flesh and not the spirit. Enough has been said to remind us that the flesh is an enemy of God. Practicing and making a show of even singing for the ears of the flesh is not spirit and truth. When it comes to music outside of worship, is this for the saints? Short answer, no. The passages in scripture that show music outside of worship are in the context of fleshly joy, such as Solomon giving his heart whatever it wanted, Ecclesiastes 2, a feast and singers and musical instruments, etc. However, in the New Testament, the saints' joy is the joy of the Holy Spirit, which is a calm delight and inner peace and joy. There is no scriptural reference for the saints using instruments because musical instruments are outward fleshly tools and the saints serve God in inward spirit-led ways. Music is fleshly. It is used by fleshly people to move their flesh in mood, and the saints do not walk after the flesh but the spirit. Another thing to consider is that we are to redeem the time. We cannot use musical instruments in worship. If we would play them for fleshly comfort and enjoyment, it would be just that, for the flesh, because we would not be studying scripture, edifying the body, sharing the gospel, or seeking the kingdom, but we would be wasting time on the things of the flesh. And again, it is written, Romans 8, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The saints of God know that 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. If one cares to argue this even now, then consider how even nature shows us this. With God's creation, from the beautiful birds to the whales of the sea, singing and making melody without instruments but with their bodies. And this is what God has ordained and shown for the New Testament body. And we do not dare go outside of God's order to bring strange fire that he did not order and appoint. The example of scripture shows clearly the way this is not accepted of God. And then I had 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Do you brothers have anything to add to this?
Amen. Good job, brother. Good job. Brother Kevin, what say you?
Very, very edifying. I don't have anything to add at the moment.
Brother Kuhl, what do you have to say about instrumental music?
I would say the thing that stuck out to me the most was the crucifying of the flesh. And when you talked about how the birds and the whales, even they make sounds with their bodies unto the Lord, like the way they were made, why should we be any different? Why should we use the things that, like, man's hands have made to serve the Lord? That would be bringing strange fire. So you're absolutely right on that. And that was a great study.
Yeah. I think you drove home the point about that because we're made in man's image, excuse me, man is made in God's image. You drove home the point that it's spiritual. And I know that when I've done some teachings on this, Paul talks about in Ephesians, and it's kind of like the Greek is kind of like thump the strings of your heart or pull at the strings of your heart to make a melody to God. So yeah, we literally have become the instrument. I think that is really the key. And I think that the church systems have really gone so far astray. And if you look at history, and it's not doctrine, but if we look at history, I think it's interesting. So I loved how you said that the Catholics were the ones that brought the organ in 900 years later. Yep, that's what history shows. And then now we got rock bands. Well, how did we get to rock bands? And if you do a little history study, this is pretty interesting, that once the Catholics started organs, and then once the Reformation happened, everyone accepted like the certain playing of a hymn or a song here and there in the church body. But it was never a focus. It was never the focus of the gathering. And it was used very limited for centuries and centuries and centuries. Guess when it all changed? Guess when music became really the heart and the core of the church systems. Does anybody have an idea when that happened? when it became the heart and the core of evangelism, bringing people in, the heart and core of worship, when do you think that all happened?
Does that less than 100 years ago?
Brother Kevin said less than 100 years ago. What'd you say, Patrick?
Does it have anything to do with the rise of the Pentecostal movement?
No, not really. If you look at it, going all the way back into like the 30s and the 40s and the 50s before any of us were born, they still used just organs, maybe a piano in the church, maybe a few guitars here and there. Maybe some of them were way on the edge, had like drums, but very little. And one or two songs. It wasn't used for evangelism. It wasn't used in great amounts. You get to the 60s. And what happened in the 60s?
The hippie movement?
Yep. So you got the hippie movement. And the hippie movement was all about new age spirituality and music and free love. I grew up, I was born in 62, and I was 8 and 9 watching my brothers and sisters as hippies. And I was like, what in the world is going on? At 8 and 9, I was looking at them wondering what's going on. So you had this new age spirituality. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, like that famous song. And they used music to move them, to soothe them, to put them in trances, to control their moods. And then what happened, along with the hippie movement in the 60s? What famous movement came out of that? You guys know?
Is that the whole Jesus culture movement?
Yep. Right about 1970, they just had a movie on it. It was out, Jesus Revolution. That movement, there was a church in California, Chuck Smith from Calvary Chapel System. He's dead now. False teacher, heretic. He decided to evangelize the hippies. Guess who convinced him he should be evangelizing the hippies? He didn't want to do it. He thought it was wrong doing what he was going to do. His wife convinced him. We got to reach these people, honey. And they, through a process of time, decided, guess how you reach hippies for Jesus?
Music.
And they began to bring the hippie street bands into the churches, and music at that point became the focal point of the church system, of all evangelistic outreaches. It became 50% of the church service when it used to be one or two hymns on a piano or something was played. That was it. And they were trying to reach the hippies. And that whole Jesus movement came out of it, and it swung through California, it swung across the country, a whole bunch of these new churches were spawned, and then something else happened about 10 years later. So you got music, the contemporary Christian music going out on the radios now, all of these bands rising up, and then another movement comes out and happens that affects everything. Anybody have any idea what movement this is?
No.
The seeker sensitive movement. You heard of that?
I know of it. I didn't realize there was an actual movement,
yep.
But I guess it was.
Rick Warren out of California decided to now totally change the gospel to make it palatable, easy to believe. And then he said, I love how they're using music like crazy. So now we're going to alter the gospel even more. Chuck Smith had a gospel that was closer to the truth. Now Rick Warren said, come as you are. It doesn't matter. Jesus is going to save you. They brought in the music. And these two mindsets converged. And you had music as the focus to fleshly woo you, an easy believe gospel. And for the last 40 to 50 years, the easy believe contemporary Christian music industry has basically overtaken evangelical world, the non-denominational world. It's even crept into the Catholic world. And that is what you see. And it's a relatively new thing that even though organs came out 900 years in the 9th century, it's a recent thing, the hippie movement, that now you have bands. They never would have stood for this in the 1800s. You go listen to a false teacher like Charles Spurgeon. And he'll tell you how people were bringing entertainment into the church and they're turning the church into a circus and this is wrong. And there was a couple people that tried to do it and they got shot down quick. It's a recent thing, just in my lifespan, since the 60s, that this instrumental music has now become the focus and a great emotional point to draw people to their false Sunday Jesus. Does all that make sense?
Yeah, it's interesting that you reach back to the 1800s. I mean, I don't know how many of the modern churchianity people who claim, like even Lutherans and Calvinists, if they're even aware that those men, I mean, they were massive heretics, but even they called like having a musical instrument in the church an abomination.
Yeah. Yeah, they saw, they did have more semblance back then, even though they were heretics in their Calvinism. They did see more sense of keeping the world out of the so-called church. And they didn't turn it into the circus it is today with smoke machines, lights, and all of the things that they do, dance theater and all the stuff they're doing. And so, yeah, this is a recent thing that, Satan and his enemy, his minions, have raised up. And now, I mean, look at what they have. They used to just have revivals. And I'm not for revivals, I'm for preaching the gospel. But they would just have revivals and they would just say, hey, we're having an altar call, and they would preach the word of God and people would come up front and say they want to cry out to God. Now, look at men like Sean Foyt and all these people. Music has become like a drug. And it is like hypnotizing people and moving them in their flesh and making them cry and making them jump up and down and scream. And like your teaching said, the Holy Spirit is who is supposed to move us, drive us, and that is to inner calm and peace, not this fleshly music that we see going on today. So I thought it would be interesting if I add some of that history to that and see that it's a relatively new thing. I think it's part of the last days that music has now come in and become such an important part, and that's why when we preach about this, singing just with your lips, and I do want to talk about a cappella for a second. But singing with your lips, that's why people oppose it so much. Why do you think they oppose it so much? Because it's such a part of the modern Christianity, they can't live without it. It's a drug. I think we all know, would everybody agree, music's a drug?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You hear music.
It changes your mood.
What, Brother Kevin?
It changes your mood.
Yeah, it changes your mood. Makes you move your body. Music is a drug, just like so many other things. And so Satan knows that, and he's using that to people's demise. They're addicted to it. We witnessed to a lady not long ago, and she's talking about she feels hot and warm flashes, and the music just moves her. And I can feel the presence of God when I listen to this song. And you cannot find that in Scripture. The closest thing you'll find is a psalm that says God dwells in the praises of his people. But I did a teaching on that. Go look up the article. When you really look at that, that doesn't mean his literal Shekinah glory is coming down when we praise him. That's not what it means. They twist that out of context. So I wanted to talk about a cappella because you mentioned a cappella. So what is a cappella?
A cappella is singing, but the only instruments is your voice, and they use their voice boxes. The problem is that, well, I guess the problem I would see with a cappella and the danger is this. While it is biblical to have saints come together and sing, when you have practiced choirs that do it for entertainment, it's really not that different, is it?
No, what I wanted to get at was that term a cappella, because I want to understand it. When I hear the term a cappella, I think if we look it up, I think it means singing without instruments.
Yeah, you just use your voice box.
Right, so that is biblical, right?
Yes.
But you're talking about like the Mennonites, the Anabaptists that have song competitions and they have auditions to get the tenors and the basses and all this. And then they have a guy that's up, does an orchestra. What do they call that? The guy that does this? The
conductor.
Conductor. Yep. They have a conductor that does all of this stuff. You're saying that practice stuff is sinful. So it's not the a cappella that's sinful.
No, singing with your voice isn't. I guess what would make it is when you turn it into a show of the flesh and not just spirit and truth worship.
Right. Yeah, so that was my point. It's not the acapella, just singing with your mouth. What we would stand against, and I think that's what you're aiming at, is like practiced acapella, making sure that we have everybody's voice in perfect harmony. Oh, Brother Kuo, you can't sing here because your voice is like this. We need somebody that has a voice like that. And they're trying to do, and then, of course, the competitions they do, and then recording it and selling it as mood-altering music. We would stand up and be opposed to all of that, right?
Yeah, I have a question to toss out here. Just something to consider, just popped into my mind. So, singing, I think we could agree, even if it's a cappella, is for the glory and worship of God, right?
Yeah,
that's what we do, to admonish and teach one another.
Yeah, the Bible says, sing to each other and unto the Lord. So I believe it has two purposes. It's we're edifying each other and we're singing to the Lord.
Okay, so question, would like a practiced choir that gets up and sings and does it, like records it to sell it, could that fall under basically like what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 6 of almost praying to be seen of men?
Oh, well, I don't know if I'd call it praying to be seen of men, but it certainly is prideful. We were just at a gospel music festival, and an Anabaptist man, they're all the same way, but we noticed the Anabaptist man brought his four young daughters and stood them up on stage, and they're playing banjos and guitars, and they're singing all in harmony together. It definitely is a prideful thing. They're not to be lifting ourselves up and then audio recording ourselves so that people can go, oh, they sing so wonderfully and beautifully, I want to buy their CD. That is not what we're supposed to be doing. That would be selling the things of God for mammon. Jesus opposed that and made a whip in John 2. And then that would be prideful. And we know they're practicing. And guess what else they do? When you make music and record it, what do they do with it, guys? You guys that are into computers and maybe you went to college and you know a little bit more about this. What do they do with it? Do they just record it and leave it as is?
They touch it up.
How do they do that, Brother Kevin?
Oh, with expensive software, and they probably use specialists that aren't Christians.
Yeah.
Even in name.
Yeah, so they're tweaking it, and I can tell you this, I've heard people sing on a CD and they sound like angels. You hear them in person, they sound like a real person. Amazing how that happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answers your question or not. I don't know if I would call it, you know, it's not really praying, but it is definitely prideful. It's probably ready, singing to be seen of man.
Yeah, that was kind of the angle I was going for. Like, it was just the question that popped into, could it fall under the category of doing, like, you see, Jesus mentioned praying to God, he mentioned giving of alms, of basically doing things to be seen of men for the praise of men. Like, we talked a while ago, a brother brought up a verse of the Pharisees who basically sought the honor that came from men and not of God.
Yeah.
Could that fall under that category? Just a question.
Yeah, I believe it could. Absolutely. Because it's supposed to be to the saints you're united to and to God. It's not ready. It's not entertainment. It's not. Now, how many people I've talked to and they say, well, I just love that music. Ready? I buy the CD, and if I'm having a bad day, I put the CD in and it lifts my spirit. It's mood altering. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be singing to each other and to God as a form of worship and edification to each other, not using it for mood altering.
Yeah, what does James say we're to do when we're merry or when we're not merry? So one more thing, I guess, to toss out there. Why don't you cover the rock band syndrome? Like, if somebody asks, so what's wrong if I just play my harmonica once in a while?
Yeah, well, let's see if Brother Kuo can answer that. Why can't we just play one guitar, one harmonica, and just leave it at that? What's the danger of that, do you know?
It kind of opens the floodgates a little bit. So one person comes in with a guitar, oh, I'll just strum the guitar. And it's like, okay, we'll allow that. And then another person comes in, oh, I have a keyboard. what's to say he can't play the keyboard if we already have someone playing the guitar?
So yeah, it's like, just okay, sound, right?
Yeah, we'll let you play the keyboard. Then, oh, another guy comes in, well, you know, I like to play the drums every once in a while. Okay, I mean, we're letting a guy play the guitar, keyboard, drums. Now you got a whole band. So
yeah,
that's,
good point. Yeah. So, yeah, you can't. We ran into that once, as I shared with you, brothers. A man wanted to be united to us, and he said, well, come on over to our house church, but I play the guitar. And I said, I won't be part of that. And I explained just what Brother Kuo said. He had no answer for that. He just looked at me, and I said, how can you stop a guitar, a keyboard, a bass drummer, a drummer, kazoos, trumpets, tambourines, all kinds of stuff that people are using? How can you stop it, sir? You're going to end up with a whole orchestra in your living room. And he had no answer. He kept playing his guitar because he loved it so much. He said it moved him. And it just shows you how fleshly instrumental music is. And it does. It overtakes most of the church services. It overtakes all the evangelism that goes on. It is just used as a drug to move people, and it was never supposed to be that way. It wasn't even that way in the Old Testament. There was reverence, as you said, it was used in the worship of God. There was reverence for it, and it wasn't used for mood altering, and we see what people are doing with it today to their own demise.
Yeah, so I got another question that just popped in, when you're talking about the bands and what happens. Most of the bands that I see that would be in like so-called churchianity systems, well, it is so-called churchianity, but so-called Christianity, most of them, they've got like, some of them, they've got like female lead singers. Well, we all know about the unbiblical dress and not head-covered women at churches, but they've got these women lead singers standing on a stage singing and leading men. Would that also be a problem with it?
Yeah, I think it would. One, you know, there's no such thing. Well, I guess, Brother Kevin, what do you think of that before I answer? What do you think of a woman worship leader leading the band?
Women are specifically not allowed to teach or usurp authority. But why would they be leading in any part of the service? I don't see any biblical reason for it.
Yeah. Brother Kuo, what would you say about that?
The same thing. I don't see any biblical instruction for that. And yeah, just the authority hierarchy, it kind of doesn't allow for something like that.
Yeah,
that's what I would say.
We've had that argument before, and they'll say, oh, but she's not usurping authority, and she's not teaching, she's just singing. So you can go the avenue you guys went, and then when they bring that up, then you just say, well, here's one for you, and I kind of wanted to go down this angle. And Brother Patrick touched on it in his teaching. It's not the model of Jesus and Paul to do what they're doing, and that's who we're supposed to model. We don't model David. We don't model the Old Testament. And so they'll talk about in the Old Testament, well, there was worship leaders. You know, they'll say that in Psalms there was a worship leader. That's foreign to the New Testament. Ready? Guess who the worship leader is in the New Testament body, brothers?
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, not some female woman, not some guy on the stage. No, it's the Holy Spirit, and he moves, and he leads, and he orchestrates, and he conducts, and he moves among his people. So it's outside of the order of God, not only for a woman to be doing that, but for anyone to be on the stage being a worship leader in the New Testament. And we need to talk about that. We're supposed to imitate Paul and Jesus. Paul and Jesus never did these things. And it's just so disingenuous for people to say that they're modeling themselves as a New Testament body when none of this went on in the New Testament body. And it's also disingenuous because if you'll notice something else, they love to say, well, it's in the Old Testament. Do you guys know any churchianity places that just use the Old Testament instruments?
Yeah.
When was the last time they got on stage and rocked out with a harp?
Blink, blink, blink.
Yep. Harp music is relatively soothing. And all of the instruments, bone rattles, and they did have trumpets, but a lot of times trumpets were used as a sign of either war in the Old Testament or judgment to come, like in Revelation. But yeah, they're so disingenuous to say that they're following David when they don't follow how David did it, and they're not supposed to. As you said, that was part of the Torah worship because they were dead on the inside and they were clanging instruments on the outside. And it's really not relying on the Holy Spirit now, because the Holy Spirit is supposed to move in us, give us that inner calm, and we're doing with music, not we, they are, like they do with the church building. think about all the things God did away with that they brought back. Let's talk about some examples real quick. So God did away with the music, they brought it back. Let's look at the pattern here. What else did they bring back that God did away with in the churchianity systems?
Like you said, a worship leader or even just like a priest or somebody getting up to lead you and you're just back in the congregation. Yep. When the New Testament is like every Christian is a priest now.
Yep. So that's another one. What's another one, brothers? Can you think of? What did they bring back that God did away with?
Building system?
Yep. Explain that.
Well, they used to have synagogues and they used to literally have the temple or the tabernacle. And when you read through the epistles, it's like the church at this house or they met at this house.
Yep.
The only examples are Paul went to the synagogues to convert the Jews.
Yep.
But it's because it was transition time.
Yep, exactly. So God did away. We become the temple. He did away with the temple system. How about the one man ruling over a body of believers like a modern pastor? Did God not do away with the original priest system, and now who's the priest today?
Yep.
I'm sorry?
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
We're all...
Yep.
Yeah, what about the tithing?
Yep. They brought back tithing. God did away with that. And Paul said, let every man give out of the abundance of his own heart. So the reason I bring this up is use this when you're witnessing and show them how... Ready? They're adding to God's word because God had this in his word and then he moved on in a better archetype and now they're going back and they're changing, abrogating, twisting, adding to God's word and show them it's not just the music. You've done the building, you've done the priest system, you've done the tithing, you've done all of these things. And the Roman Catholics are guilty, really, of all of this. They brought back the building. They brought back the priesthood. They brought music back in. They brought control of money. And then the evangelicals leave. Martin Luther leaves the Catholics, but brings so many of them with him. So it's a good way to show them you're not modeling the New Testament. Don't always just focus on the music either. Ready? What did God ordain women to do when they go in when they're in the building, really in all of their life? What did God ordain women are supposed to do?
Which angle are you taking here?
Well, I was going after covering their heads.
Oh, that, yeah, well, biblical dress, yeah. That's
biblical dress and covering their heads? Have they not taken that away now? That's gone. So whatever God either ordained or took away, they kind of work against God. God gave it, they took it away. God took it away, they bring it back. Have you noticed that? Who does that sound like is the author of that?
Someone is sowing rebellion against God?
Yeah. Sounds like the father of all lies, Satan, to me. What do you brothers think?
Mm-hmm.
So use those patterns on them and show them. Well, look at Saturday Sabbath. There's another one. God had a Saturday Sabbath. It's no longer the Sabbath. Guess what the evangelical and Roman Catholic system does?
They make their own holy day?
Yep. They invented
Sunday?
Yep. They invented Sunday. Here's another one. God invented, and not invented, he ordained all those festivals for the Israelites in Torah. Now those are not part of the Gentiles. And guess what the Gentiles go and do?
The Gentiles have pagan holidays.
Yep.
The Gentile Christians keep every day holy unto the Lord. And the churchianity system went and made their own holy days.
Yeah. Christmas, Easter, Good Friday. And I always ask people, who makes days holy? And I've never had a person yet say, well, man does. Every single person goes, oh, I think God does. And I go, absolutely right. That's why it's called a holy day, because he's holy. Who made these holidays? And they go, man. I go, they're not holy days. They're man's days. And they can't give an answer for that. So as you think about music, also think about all these patterns that the churchianity systems have changed against the true New Testament. And Paul says in 2 Thess 2:15, keep the traditions I've handed down. That's what we're supposed to fight for, contend for, teach, be salt, which preserves, be light, which tells the truth. And that's what Brother Patrick's article did a good job of. and that is preserving how we're supposed to use our bodies as instruments today and reject all of this fleshly worship that goes on, so-called worship. And by the way, there's no such thing as worship music, guys. Worship leaders, worship music, worship services. They've changed what worship is. What is worship today, Brother Akuo?
Worship is obeying God in spirit and truth. I mean, you worship God with every aspect of your life.
Every day.
Yeah.
It's not just a Sunday gathering, a Saturday gathering, or a certain day gathering. Look at all the patterns. Someday we should list all those. Look at all the patterns that they've either brought back or done away with. And talk about how the father of this system is Satan. It's not our Father in heaven. And just give them all these examples that they cannot refute in the Word of God, and music is one of them. Good job, Brother Patrick.
Yeah, that was a very edifying discussion, brother.
Yep, anything else before I close out this audio? I'll take that.
I don't have anything.
All right, I'll take that as a no. Thanks, brothers.